You know what I'm saying? 20,000 here, 20,000 there, and it's gonna build up to that 100,000 to pay it off.
Right.
Podcast. So these dudes now, the price drops.
Right.
On the initial sales, yeah. They half what it was supposed to be.
Right.
So you're already in the hole, trying to pay for the trim jobs and all the work and labor. Right. You're in the hole for half of that money you were expecting because you ain't gonna get it.
So it's gonna take the average farmer $100,000 to run the season. To pay the workers to trim the cannabis, to get it to where it's gotta be.
That's right. From
and they pretty much need to have that
from field to package.
$100,000.
$100,000.
Right.
Needs to be on hand. Otherwise, that stuff's gonna rot in the field, and you're gonna lose too.
Right. Most of that, you'd say. Through the year, most of that towards the end, harvest.
Harvest time is the most expensive.
You need to get
time.
The bodies in there. Get if you can have 20 bodies on your farm.
Farms be having at least 20 bodies. Some be more than that.
Some more than that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you're paying these dudes, well, it used to be good $20, but now it's probably 10 to 12
right.
bucks.
10 to 12 so. Bucks, yep, that's what it's been. Yeah. But you're paying, that shit, $2,000, $3,000 an hour.
Yeah. And that's right.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And they working 15 hours a day or more, some of them dudes, because
okay.
It's an all-day operation. It's
right,
not
right.
It's not 8 hours and go to bed.
Damn, America needs shit. 4,000 yeah. 24 yeah. hours.
Yeah, you got some people just work all day, like me.
20-30 people.
Even at, yeah, just at $10 an hour is...
That's all I was
asking. Yeah. So, it's high. And they that's why a person who's been in that farming situation, this has been a very bad year
right.
for them. And then the whole outlook of the rest of the crop left, the profit is only going to be half now because of that surplus weed.
They had a surplus in Oregon this year.
Yeah.
So, they grew too much weed.
They grew too much weed.
Think that was everybody's four rec plants. Everything contributed
everything.
To that surplus, huh?
Yeah, everything, for sure. It had to be rec, mostly, too, because medical is not
never
allowed to have that much anyway.
Right.
So our shit's so limited and small. We could never... We've never had a surplus before.
It seems like this is what they should have did in Oregon. Like... Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, they should have let the medical people do the rec shit and put sizes on the canopies. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if they should have put... I think they should have let the medical people definitely do the rec.
First ones, y'all
yeah,
just started.
You guys get it off the ground.
Right.
Y'all took it this far.
Because
show
quality.
Us how to do it on to the next level.
Right.
But what they did was they opened up the game for people with big money to just come in and commercialize the whole business.
But it seems like they could have did that on our medical.
Well,
they fucked in the cost that we would pay as Almond Pea growers and patients of $200 or $400. That's all they're missing to pay the one fee.
Right.
But even though they're paying all the more regulation costs.
But medical was growing at an organic rate.
Right. As needed.
Yeah, as can.
For
or
the
as.
State. Right.
So when they said, hey, y'all, anybody can come here and do it, that's not organic no more.
Right.
That's at a high tech internet rate speed of growth. That's where the surplus came in.
Right.
From that amount of people coming in and saying, man, let's bang it out. Where before it was a little more intimate, a little more boutique. It kind of kept itself small.
Right.
But, yeah, the commercialized weed is where the surplus came in. So, like, Colorado and all the states did this, except for Washington ran out of weed.
When they first started.
Right. And now that is all seems to be based on the laws dictate what's going to happen 2 or 3 years down the line.
Right. And that's what I was thinking about now is not is being, you know, in that industry, specifically in Oregon, like, I'm glad I ain't leveraged out too tough and turned down the investors I did because
right.
I just like, now that I see it.
Because everybody be taking a hit right now.
Right. Especially I'm not maybe if I was already vertically integrated.
Right.
Not vertically integrated, it's time to do that. Mm-hmm. When someone's dying, it's a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. When I'm more like, I like to be, you know, we would like to be, you think, ideally, not me personally, just be organic with it, like you say. Like, you know, start with one store or whatever, yeah, and then grow as that.
Naturally.
Right.
Mm. No, everything's always nicer when it's naturally occurring.
Right.
That's for real. Always. But yeah. They got it jacked up out there.
Right. Yeah, this tastes nice here. You put the hash in there?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's that classic, too. Mm. One of them classic hashes.
Tastes like that.
Yeah.
Old school, Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, caramel.
Spanish. Nice. Oh, I love that hash. Jamaican hash. Slows you down after like a day. Yes. We're here with Live with the Podcast. It is the end of April 29th. Bacazi on location. Casual conversation. Common conversation.
In the attic, fool.
In the attic.
Started in the basement, headed to the attic.
In the attic. Discussing today's topic is the cannabis industry. Where it's headed, where it's going. Mm-hmm. And specifically in the state of Oregon. And how that affects and shapes what's to come.
Yes.
We have Donald Trump agreeing and saying he's ready to let the states do what they do. They're easing banking. Are they getting something in line to do some banking?
Yeah, that's good stuff right there.
Yeah, that's good. Brings everybody out to shadows and,
yeah,
you know, what everybody wants.
And we can start opening some banks, too.
Start opening some banks. It's regular.
Cannabis banks, you know what I mean?
Right.
Specialized for cannabis businesses.
So how do you think that's going to do when the banks come? I wonder, will they let us start banking?
Oh, I think that's going to be great, man. That's really what a lot of people is. That's what's stopping a lot of people.
Right.
Then nobody wants to pile up a bunch of money under their mattress or in the backyard or whatever. Right. They all want to put our money in the bank and let it gain interest and let it move on to the stock market. And
do the normal things that money does, right?
That's right. So that's what I think a lot of us are waiting on.
Right. Well, you know, Oregon had the surplus this year. The market is slow, very bullish.
Yeah.
Got some investors, you know. I think it's slowing investors. I heard a lot of businesses go under.
A lot of stuff is slowing down, even in the medical area. So the surplus definitely knocked a chunk out of a lot of people.
Business in general.
Yes, definitely.
It slows down.
But that's what business is about, you know. The strong survive and...
Right, so the dust is kind of settling to see who's standing.
That's right.
Which goes back to, I feel if you're in it for the right reasons, you should be all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And if you're working on a quality product, you should be all right.
That should work good for the Oregonians that were in it for the right reasons, mm-hmm, that were already came through the OMMP program. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, already had their land, if they put a building on it, expand our greenhouse. That was cool, but they just didn't go buying up, you know.
Right. Buy in.
Hella acres and warehouses and have a million or two or three or more.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people that shut down on that, you know. Couldn't get it together.
Yeah. That's for sure. A lot of people come and go. Yeah. You just got to stick with it.
Yeah.
Don't quit.
Do you think the outdoor market's going to slow up?
Nah.
Just because of what is taking place? It's cheaper indoor weed, cheaper greenhouse weed.
Yeah, but once again, it's... this weed is also now a commodity. So the commodities game is just like corn or potatoes or anything else. It's just seasonal. It goes up and down. we got it, and we start over again every year. So it'll come back around. It'll come back around. The more they're gonna be making extractions and all type of oils and stuff like that, those things consume weed at a larger amount, a faster amount than we do. So if that gets bigger, which is probably why the price did drop, that's probably leading into everything moving towards extractions.
Right.
That way people...
I think that at one point is like 17% of the market, yeah, and up to 20%.
Yeah, and it's going to get higher.
And medibles, they're growing.
Yeah, so...
And it concentrates the growth.
Yeah, those things use a lot of weed real fast. You know, we roll it up and smoke it, and they put 10 pounds of it in a machine.
To get the power on or something.
Extracted by the time we smoke the joint.
Right.
So... that is where the future is probably headed.
Right.
And that's why the price of weed drops. Mm. Because now everybody's going to be wanting oil.
Snatching up crops and all that. They like the plants.
Get your whole crop so we can just extract it.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see more of that. And which means also the price of extraction should go down also.
The equipment.
The oils. Mm-hmm. Because the product it came from was cheap, didn't cost as much.
Right.
But also, is it going to recover price wise? I don't think so.
Oh, yeah?
We're going to continue. I mean, it's going to go up, back up a little bit.
Right.
But I don't think. I think that the price of weed is going to probably continue to maybe dwindle a little bit. It's not going to go really high because we do have a lot of people growing it and producing it now. So there is a break point where, you know, we might have, if we're having surpluses, the price probably is not going to be going up soon or going back up to the higher prices it was, $2,500 a pound or whatever dispensaries were paying like 5 years ago.
Right. Which I think will go back to, you know, the difference between indoor cocoa, indoor hydro, indoor soil, indoor soilless, then to greenhouse.
Yeah.
Soil.
They're all going to probably, like, those prices... are all, they might be different, but they're gonna come close to each other. They're like, there won't be a big margin between those. It's like when you go into buy olive oil or wine.
Right, not a big margin, but just some, yeah.
It'll be a difference, but unless you're selling something or producing something that you're trying to call like a Cavassier or, you know.
I think that's where it's at. I mean, that's definitely where.
That is
the direction where we're at, you know, as far as, you know, our cultivation practices is.
Right.
We want, you know, they say craft product, but more of a boutique product.
Right, right.
You know, but I think that's going to have a lot to do with genetics.
Mm-hmm.
As much as a proper cycle.
Yeah, but it's also, everybody thinks they're doing that.
Like, right.
You know what I mean?
So, right.
But everybody thinks they're doing that.
Because it's not rocket science, so you can figure a lot of people are making high quality
cannabis. Right, you have a lot of high quality.
But it's very easy to make mediocre cannabis, and a lot of people are having mediocre cannabis.
But I think when you got a business like this, mediocre gets weeded out.
And that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Because pretty soon
our taste is so high.
A superior product, we say a good product would sell itself.
Yeah.
But a superior product would definitely sell itself.
Yeah.
You know, but you start seeing more superior products, you know.
Yeah.
It's like breweries. I mean, I don't like every beer or every IPA, you know. But I can't say that because I like a Stella. Or something light, you know what I'm saying? And I haven't had no qualms with anything that was light.
Right.
Whether it was that Pilsner or a couple of other brands that are more lighter.
Yeah. And it's also the decades of, with age comes knowledge. And so you like a light, you like Stella now, but when you were a youth, Bud Light was just like Stella. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you
right.
didn't have that knowledge.
Right.
You something else replaced that.
Then it was the Guinness now.
Yeah, yeah. You went all
then it was the
way.
Then it was the, yeah. the Bex.
Yeah.
And I remember all from Bex to Heineken.
Right. And we had Triple X and,
yeah, I couldn't
and
do
Red Hook and a couple, you know.
Crazy Horse.
Yeah, them breweries all came through. So at the time when some of us are on the elite level of things and we want the finest and whatnot,
quality.
There's still those who want to just, who are just learning or just entering or affordability purposes need right. that other
I think
product.
That matters a lot now yeah. that I, you know, been thinking about, you know, I know that matters a lot, mm-hmm. you know, being in the industry for, you know, 18, 19 years of trials and tribulations, experience, and, you know what I'm saying, growing with it. And so they said that it was definitely an issue in Colorado. All the money that came was basically the new ventures. And,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? It wasn't a bunch of horticulturists.
Right.
Horticulturalists that, you know, transcended on the city as much as it was entrepreneurs.
Right.
So you got to go through all that on a big scale. And I've been learning, and we know that, you know, doing things on a big scale is harder to have the quality that you would have on a smaller batch.
Bigger scale, bigger problems.
But I've heard a lot of negative things about Colorado's weed, cannabis. But then I've recently been hearing better things, even from the genetic side. A lot of people doing good genetics, and I don't know if it's the rec side or the medical side that separates the ability to get high quality, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Colorado is getting it from dealing with their big problems. Like, they learn a lot.
Right.
Problem. When you get in the industry big and problems are big, your learning is big. Like, ooh.
Right.
So
once they get it right, it's to be right.
Yeah, they make big steps.
Also, I'm wondering if the altitude has to do with something, like specific strains may not, or cultivar. Genetic may not just reach its full potential in that altitude, and you got to get certain strains that does good in that altitude.
You know, some of that is for real, because I've got mountain growers in Oregon who do look for specific strains. But I also learned that you can take a strain and put it in the area
and let it
be there for a while play around with it over and over again, and you can make it adjust.
Which takes time.
Yeah. But, and some people do it with seeds.
So someone's doing
breeding
that.
In that area.
They're doing it. So after time, it's just going to get better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the West Coast has it so locked, because they've been doing it for so long.
Exactly.
I definitely give kudos to California. They've definitely been leading the way.
Yeah, Cali.
Even when we chose to really, you know, be in Oregon. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like California still lead the way.
Yeah.
They made it wasn't so hard to get into the market.
California.
To be legal. They made, you know, they got a quality control.
They got
they
that.
They trim their outdoor, their greenhouse, like it's like, you know, manicured indoor.
They definitely got the best, the biggest, best area for weed.
Right.
The biggest, best. And they got that, the new rules that are helping out people who had difficulty with weed issues and the law before.
So now the business, set up.
The businesses have to be owned by people who have been past felons with weed or minorities. Like, they got their laws designed to help the hood, which is a big, the hood is who consumes most of the marijuana in the world.
You think so?
We know that. Snoop Dogg and them dudes smoke more weed than anybody.
And so they've been promoting it, like.
Yeah, and they came from the hood. So we know Oakland over there. Like,
well, we know LA is the second biggest city in America.
Right.
They said the LA, cannabis market is bigger than Colorado's whole state.
For real. I believe it.
Yeah.
LA is weed capital.
Right.
But.
That's why I like L.A., because they did so much. You got so much trial and error
yeah.
that you're going to get it right soon enough. you know, which goes back to people in life falling down, being scared to fall down and get back up.
They also in probably one of the better environments in California to even grow weed. Like, some of that shit down there, besides Humboldt County.
Because of no rain and all that.
Down there in Southern California, they can get down if they got no
water. The greenhouses and all that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, L.A., whole L.A., Metro, kudos, they're keeping it popping, doing good things, always has.
Yep, that's the big time, man, that's the big time right there.
Right, it's expensive for space there, too.
Yeah, that's the big time. See, that's kind of why I'm in Oregon, because I like what we do, I like the business, but I'm not ready to enter the big time yet.
Right. Right. Let's keep it simple.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Let's keep the expectations low, comfortable.
Less rat race.
Right.
All that stuff. It's more quiet underground scene.
Yeah. Oregon seemed pretty low key.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. It's a lot of
these rec rolls, though. I'm missing the old OMMP days, though, you know.
Yeah, it's sad, kind of sad now. But I'm still just an OMMP person or whatever. That's not OMMP anymore, but I'm just medical, so I don't even really deal with anything but medical. I got patients and still dealing with the increase in my fees. I just got those letters, $200 more right now, and then I gotta pay some more money.
Mm-hmm. And they went up with that. They used the money from that to fund their recreationals.
All their bureaucracy. Yeah.
So what is it? It's $200 for the patient, $250 for a grower, and another $200.
I believe there's another $200 on the registration or the something.
For the system.
Yeah.
The metric system.
Yeah.
Or the online registration.
Yeah, the online thing.
Alright. So it's like $800. Plus you gotta give a doctor probably $100 to $200.
Yeah.
That's like becoming $800 to $1,000 per card.
Yeah. For if somebody
per patient.
And that's just if you put a grower on your
right, that extra $200.
Yeah, if you don't put a grower on there, you can go get a card for $150 plus $150 or something.
Right.
But yeah, if you want to have, you know,
so in actuality, they're taxing the OMMP grower.
Yeah, and the people who want to have growers.
People who want to have growers, the patients,
mm-hmm.
the collectives, and all that.
Right. If somebody told them, somebody told that was. That was back when the alcohol council leader, chairman or whatever, was also running the weed cannabis. He was running the medical cannabis and the alcohol for the state. And he was using people who were medical growers to understand the system and how it worked. So he was getting right up next to him. I can't remember his name. Was Paul something. He took another job somewhere else now. But
so he took that from alcohol?
So he took some things he was doing with alcohol, but what he did was get up next to medical people, medical marijuana growers and patients. And he learned about the system through them. And he already being a government official is in a taxing mind state.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what the ooh. Pinpoints of taxation are like up. Like there's steps in business where taxation knows that's where the money is.
If
like
you're doing that.
Yeah. So they sit around and pick those things out and decide what steps. Oh, they figured out that the grower was the people with all the money, really. So they figured out a way to tax the grower just for helping out a patient. which, dude, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Right. Like, the doctors, you know, give out a lot of free medicine.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Hello? Hey. What's up?
Yeah, we live. We answer phones and all that. We don't.
Okay.
We don't care on the Common Conversations podcast. We're talking about the whole MMP.
Okay.
Cannabis program, right. Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, and the new OLCC, Oregon Recreational Cannabis Program.
It's got so many
its
names.
Its effects in the last couple of years.
It's had so many names and organizations in control of it. Nobody knows the name of it, really. We just medical marijuana program or whatever. Because the name might be something different next month.
For the recreational name?
Yeah. What it's gone from OMMP to... And before that, I think it was MMP. Before they put the O on there or something, because too many other places were doing it.
Right, right.
So this
medical marijuana program, distinctively Oregon medical marijuana.
Yeah,
because Michigan is MMMP, I think.
Yeah,
but Cali is this.
But when Oregon got into it, it was only Cali.
Right.
It was Cali, and I don't remember what their program was called at that time. And then Oregon's program was just MMP, and then. Later on, Washington or somebody else got into it, and then they put the O on there.
What you think about Washington's governor saying we got the best weed in Washington? Wasn't that a good promotion opportunity? Like,
for sure, a good promotion. Whether it's the truth, I'm not sure about that.
Right, right. I mean, Seattle's always had good weed, but the whole West Coast has always had good weed.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of good weed,
mm-hmm. right?
But it also depends on how your preferences, your own personal preferences are like. I think Oregon is more organic than other places. And we also don't mess around with a lot of GMOs. And a lot of strains actually came from Oregon.
Yeah.
Where, you know, some Washington is kind of colder there. And
right.
So, you know, they might not have the same plan.
I can believe that. Yeah. But they doubled down on that back before, you know, Vancouver having the little seed capital, Mark Emery,
right,
you know,
right.
Jordan of the Isles, a lot of them guys in that area was like on some of that, you know, breeding seeds.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Shots out to Canada on the seeds of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mark Emery putting in that work.
Yeah, we're about to take over that business.
I see that happening.
Yeah.
I see that happening.
Yeah, they might as well, you know. Thanks, like he said, but America, United States, is definitely going to be in charge of that business.
That's the melting pot. Yeah. So those strains are just melting, and just people are just breeding like crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be out of control.
I mean, I'd have to say some crosses... Or get more popular
than the original strain.
Than the original strain. Like, you take, for instance, Skittles, and then I'm hearing more about some Skittle crosses now. That people are actually, you know what I'm saying?
Cookies.
Right.
All them strains that came behind cookies.
All the strains
was all
came
better
out.
Than cookies.
Right.
If you ask me.
Right. So, for genetics, that does a lot, boy.
Yeah.
That does a lot.
Because we got some strains, and. After some of those OG or whatever is been rebred to itself three times or something crazy.
Right. It's OG crazy.
Yeah.
LA like, OG crazy.
Yeah.
And I ain't mad about that. Shouts out to LA on the OGs.
Yeah. Hopefully
they finally made me a believer, you know. Mm-hmm. Six, 7 years ago, I wasn't like, I like variety, but now I'm kind of OG'd out.
Yeah.
You know.
That always happens. We just forget about it.
It's like cooking, you know.
We forget about it.
It's like cooking good chicken with like a pressure cooker. You just can't miss.
Yeah.
You know, it's perfect every time.
Yeah.
You know.
But we'll see what the future holds for us.
OG is consistent.
It is. But I think that over years, it's gonna pan out where people are gonna be more tired of it. that's OG.
But they haven't got tired of it. Like,
nah,
because Blue Dream is more persistent.
Yeah.
Like, it keeps popping up. Hey, what the Blue Dream again? What the?
Yeah.
It's just persistent.
Blue Dream.
And she shows you, she lets you know, like, hey, I'm the girl. Yeah. I'm that girl. You know, time and time again.
Blue Dream's an all-around good string. That's the probably.
But it's but it's you know. What I'm
it's
saying?
Overbred.
It's overbred.
Yeah, and it's been just.
But its reputation is what I'm trying to say.
Its reputation is awesome. More Blue Dream.
And as Warren Buffett would say, protect your reputation at all costs. Yes,
right. But that's what I'm saying. OG was a. Before, that was a special weed that only, like, L.A. kids have, you know, over the years, and we see it every now and then. You get a bag of some
special treat.
Yeah, you get a bag of these nuggets, and you're like, man, what is that? Oh, that's that OG. Oh, shit. And you taste it, and you know. But now, OG is everywhere. So, it's not as special as it was. And we talked about kind of about the beers, how in comparison beers, like when we first moved to Heineken's, when you was talking about, Heineken's was kind of special.
Right.
But now Heineken's not that special no more.
So it's like Budweiser.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even buy Heineken's. But so I think OG, everything does that. The history repeats itself, and OG has put itself onto the forefronts now, which means that it's going to go back. Like, everything that goes up has to come down. So,
well, it's got a lot more competition, the Blue Dreams.
There's a lot of good strains.
You feel like the 9-pound hammer is underrated?
Nine-pound hammer, I like 9-pound hammer.
It won the Emerald Cup this year, one of the categories.
I like it. It just, once again, who grew that? Where that came
The kid that grew up was just, you know, some random kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a random kid, a good you know, cultivator, obviously, at that, if he wanted. But isn't that an Oregon strain, too?
I've heard about that around. I don't know where that came from, but I did.
I think that's like that TGA.
You hear about it in Oregon.
Subcool camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, have you heard of this guy called Jinx Proof?
Jinx Proof.
Yeah, I think he's with that TGA type of clip. I think he's the breeder of that.
Okay.
9-pound hammer.
Yeah, I've seen that in the magazine. Now that you said that in the High Time advertisement with the White Widow or something like that or something.
It's an Oregon strain.
So, I definitely hear about it in Oregon a lot. But yeah,
it seems to be underrated though. It's been out a couple of years.
Yeah,
a few years.
You know, and a
it's
lot
just
of
catching fire.
Yeah, a lot of things just. Is our sativa indica based controversy like that too? So some weed is.
You say it's a sativa, people are like,
That's
or it's just indica. Some people turn their nose down.
Right, and we
and everything's so mixed now that you really got to see if you like.
You gotta know what it is. Yeah,
feel it and see if it does. Right. If you like it, if it works for you.
Right, and everything's mixed, but it's all heavy either one way.
One way,
it's
right.
Like this is a sativa heavy, right. Or this is an indica heavy. Right. So you're getting a little bit of both, but some people really can't handle the sativa, or the sativa doesn't, it appears weak to them because it doesn't do what the indica does.
Right.
So they think, this is not working, but it's just not doing what you were expecting it to do. If you understand sativa and indica and what each of those do, when they do what they're doing, you will receive it better and perceive it better. So a lot of this shit's education based.
Which is the sativa.
Good night.
Sativa's the uppity, and the indica's the.
The couch lot.
The couch lot.
They call it AM and PM. Sativa AM.
All right.
Indica PM. When you wake up, you smoke some sativa, and gets your brain racy and kind of wakes you up, opens your senses up, and then when you're trying to go back to bed, you smoke some indica because it relaxes your body and puts you in a euphoric state.
Right.
You can go to sleep.
Yeah. So,
but some people like to wake up and smoke some indica.
Right.
Or they just smoke indica all day.
Some people just like to wake up and smoke.
Yeah, right. Right, before I understood those concepts, I was probably just a wake up and smoke guy. But now I know, I like smoking indica or sativa now, but I understand what it's doing to me when it's doing it. I know, I can smoke a weed and go, that's sativa based, like right away. You know these things after a long time.
Mm-hmm. But, so, we were kind of trying to think, what's going to happen when the feds get their act today. I was saying Trump's getting on board. They have, which senator or congressman is heading
the cannabis bill?
A bill, some type of decriminalizing bill.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about the other dude who retired and is joining the cannabis industry.
Politician?
The head of the House.
Really?
Dude, I can't
remember. Not Mitch McConnell. Was it that name?
That might be him. That could be him.
He's heading the cannabis.
Yeah, he's retired. He's quitting.
So, cannabis had to lobby a lot of money this last 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. In the shadows.
For sure.
And now they're trying to bring it out.
They definitely laundered. Mm-hmm. Wrong word. They definitely lobbied a lot of money, which could have been laundering. I don't know, but
right.
But they definitely did that. When I was in first coming out there, I actually saw or took place in some type of almost lobbyish type of business. We call it bundling, where you find a senator who is for your cause, and you bring him to a dinner, and you invite all your friends and people who are supportive of your cause to the dinner, and then they all pay $30, and then the senator comes into the dinner and he's does a couple
speeches. He gets the money for that.
Right, and we cut him a check at the end of the night.
Right.
So that was all. It's basically the same.
That's just how they do it. Okay.
Yeah. That's like the bottom of the barrel.
So cannabis industry's done enough of that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was 5 years ago, so I'm sure it's evolved to something bigger now. Now they're probably just cutting the senator a check and not even doing the dinner.
So how do you think this is going to affect the
feds?
Like,
and Trump?
So, what I'm saying? When they do get some laws in order, better laws, you think it'll be good? Because you could grow you could cultivate your product just in one state and fly it and ship it all over the country. Opposed to now, you would have to, set up in each area.
Right.
Like each entity, right. You know what I'm saying?
It's its own state's business with its own laws.
Right, and it's a shit. Lot of just...
Yeah, that's definitely going to open that. That's definitely going to loosen up. And once again, I believe all of this, though, is going to... It's contributing to the bigger business taking it over. Yeah. Just like any other thing. We started this from a little family ma and pa type of shit, but in the end, no business stays that way. Like, pretty soon, big money comes and takes it over. So the easier they make it for us to make money, the bigger businesses are going to come in and say, yeah, now we can fly our stuff around or whatever. Yeah, we're in the game now. Or now Trump's down. So we're going to see really big stuff, which is going to, squeeze a lot of people. I always tell people in your life, you've seen stuff that's big, and you go, damn, that's big. But if you keep on living and keep seeing and moving in the direction you're moving, you're going to see stuff that makes that stuff look little.
So right.
We saw a lot of big stuff. We've seen a lot of big farms and big warehouses full of weed, but we probably haven't seen nothing yet.
Right.
I'm already
big agriculture is already a thing.
Yeah. It's there and it's waiting.
Right.
It's waiting for the right words and rules and laws and taxes to just pounce into the business.
Right.
It's waiting.
So you think the buyouts continue?
Oh, yeah.
You still got to just build your brand, build your stuff for the buyout.
Yeah, keep on working.
Do you hedge for the buyout or against it? Do you build a company now, put your heart and soul into it, to once get sold out for a number that you feel is...
Is it
in America they always say everything's for sale?
I think that even someone who says they're not going to do that, if the right price comes along, they're going to do it.
Right.
You might not have been for sale,
right?
But when a certain number comes, I think you'll sell it.
Right.
If not, maybe, I don't know, you're just really crazy.
Or do you want to be? Because it seems like I kind of would use analogy of burgers, hamburger, to the cannabis.
Yeah.
You got some McDonald's, you got some Burger Kings,
right?
But you got your Fat Burger, you got your right. In-N-Outs,
right? You got your bar burgers. Yeah, you got everybody fucking with it.
Your burger boutiques.
That's right.
But can cannabis sustain that much?
I think that
America likes its burgers.
America does like burgers. America likes cannabis too, and I think that's a good example of what's happening, because actually all those places that you named are still huge franchise $1 million right. monsters.
And so that's it ain't the squeeze, it's just who's in it with the right reasons money, and right way. And
some money involved.
Some money, huh?
It's a money. Money is the final. We're in this as a career. We all got love for the weed, right. But I could have went and been a teacher. Right. You know what I mean? And made some money. Right. I chose to choose what I love as a career.
Right.
But it's still a career. It's still about money. I still got to put bread on the table. So that's what it all boils down to it on payday. I got to get money to feed the family. So whenever you involve yourself into that, you are involved with big business. It's just all we just have to do is look at hamburgers, just like you said. At one point, it was just White Castles and McDonald's or something like that.
Right.
These other people came along because McDonald's franchise price got so high that it became cheaper to open your own Burger King.
Your own little burger joint.
Yeah.
Call it what you want to call it, right?
Exactly. So...
I'm gonna make your burger better than McDonald's.
Right, which is still true. Mm-hmm. Your best burger is coming from home, right. And your best weed is actually coming from a homegrown person too. The best weed, it might not be the biggest crop, but the best weed.
So the ability, like say moonshine, if you equate cannabis to moonshine, like through prohibition and all that, to where. The best liquor probably would still come from a small distillation guy in the mountains somewhere.
Right. Have you tasted some of that?
But overall, probably, that's what I'm saying. But overall, to the overall population, that ain't what's. They're not really concerned with that.
Right. They don't care.
And there's enough other gins and bottled sea rooms.
They don't even know what that stuff tastes like.
Right.
That's just.
So that will that turn our boutique cannabis into that? The guy at home that's got his tent and he just.
I think that
bangs out some of the best shit.
That's never gonna go away, especially in Oregon, where
it's getting so big. We're gonna have burger joints on every corner
in Oregon, because we can still grow your four plants. Anybody can grow four plants.
Right.
There's always gonna be some dude who babied them things and he took them four plants and made them some.
Right.
Bonsai.
Right.
So
some Jikindu.
Right.
And some Kung Pao.
And we need that.
We
need that because that's the source of the real shit. Like,
right.
The real shit came from somebody.
So it'd be like buying a pack of Marlboros, but you can grow your own tobacco, make your own Marlboro?
Yeah. I would definitely, it would definitely be nicer if we lived on some shit like that. The tobacco you grow is going to be a way more quality product than what you get in it.
So do you think the real battle, this is a question I've been pondering, is going to be between... The real battle in this cannabis industry, I feel is gonna be a recreational market versus the black market. Now we're gonna shake some, ruffle some feathers here.
Yeah, the black market
versus the rec.
The rec.
It's the rec versus the black.
Yeah. And it is, because the black was...
How do you feel that's going to play out in the next 5 years?
Black market?
It's going to be around 4 or 5 years.
Always be here. It's never going to go away.
Even when it gets
small.
Even when there's, like we say, a burger, a weed joint on every corner.
It's still grandma selling plates on Sunday somewhere. Right. Or it's still a nigga on it with his grill in the backyard who the whole neighborhood know they can come by and get some burgers. $5 or whatever.
It's still a lot of mom and pop food joints.
Yeah, it's people you can call and be like, hey man, bro, can y'all cook for us on Sunday? Blah, 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 blah. Like, it's little neighborhood people still doing little catering underground.
But we know Big Ag, Monsanto, all these companies know how to mass produce the genetics.
Yeah.
So we have millions of people that are breeding. What happens when they start breeding in their big mega facilities?
Hello? What's going down?
Yeah, common conversations. We answer the phone around here, you know. This is common conversation with common people.
Mm-hmm.